You're listening to a sermon from Christian Life, the Island Church, in Orange Beach, Alabama. For more information, visit christianlifechurch.tv.
Freedom to be free. We're looking at breaking some of the chains that are in our life, getting rid of some of the, all of the, if you will, heaviness, the weights that would hold us captive. The Bible says in John 8 and verse 36, so if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. But the question remains is, if I've accepted Christ and I'm on my way to heaven, why do I struggle, and why do I struggle with things that tend to become habits, distractions, addictions that keep me from fulfilling? I go back to that old way of life, that being bound, the thing I want to do, I don't do, and the thing I don't want to do, I end up doing. How can I get out of this vicious cycle that I'm in? And so this morning, instead of just saying how to break free from an addiction or how to break free from a habit, and those are things we're looking at, how to just walk in freedom, freedom to be free. In America, we're hooked on the idea of addictions. It's as though we are consumed with addictions. If it's not drugs, it's alcohol. If it's not alcohol, it's food. If it's not food, it's exercise or relationships or sexual addictions or shopping or working or video games, sports. I'm not sure golf is an addiction. There I go, making an excuse. We're going to talk about it today. There are over 200 different types of, probably well in excess of that, but of types of support groups. And those are good. And in the course of this message, it won't be this Sunday, but next Sunday, I want to encourage you. A part of this message is to encourage you to be a part of a smaller group where you can receive help, where you can be accountable. So I'm not mocking groups in any way. But it's amazing the things that people struggle with. I mean, the list goes on. Obviously, one of the biggest is that of drugs and alcohol, but also of pornography. 12% of the internet is pornography. 25% of all search engine requests is pornographic in nature. Every day, 40 million regular visitors, if you will, to pornographic sites. There's a wave of distraction that comes against us. And we have to remember this, that the Bible tells us in John 10:10, the thief comes to kill, steal, and to destroy. We have an adversary that loves to undermine, distract, keep us bound and keep us from living in freedom. Freedom to be free. Whom the Son sets free is free indeed. The Bible says this, you'll know the truth and the truth will set you free. What is that truth? That truth is knowing Jesus. I'm the way, the truth, and the life. It's knowing God's word. Thy word is truth. And it's knowing the truth about my life, because I'm my biggest problem. I am the biggest deceiver of them all. You are the biggest deceiver of all. Our heart is deceptive above all. And so what we have to do is we have to be honest about the situation, recognizing the enemy, recognizing the tendency of our flesh, and recognizing the downward pull, the gravitational downward pull of sin in our life. And so this morning we're going to look at a few of those truths to help us to walk in that freedom. 2 Peter 2 and verse 19 says, they promise them freedom, but they themselves are slaves of corruption. For whatever overcomes a person, whatever it is, whatever. Because when we talk about addictions or we talk about habits, and that's why I want to emphasize freedom to be free, to walk in freedom, not to do what I want to do, but to be what I need to be or should be or ought to be. But whatever it is, don't tune me out. If you don't have an alcohol or drug or pornography, don't tune me out to say, well, I don't have an issue. We tend to gravitate to a rut and to live in the cycle of that rut. And this morning are steps to revival, to be revived, to come alive, to be what God has intended for us to be. For whatever overcomes a person, whatever. And then in Hebrews 12:1 says, therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin that clings to us so closely, and let us run the endurance with endurance the race that is set before us. Saying that you can't run if you're weighted down. And so we lay aside these weights. Habits, routines of behavior, repeated regularly, and tend to occur even subconsciously. It just becomes habit. Now, there are good habits and there are bad habits. Obviously, we're talking about habits that are weights or distractions. Addictions, the state of being enslaved to a habit or practice, something that is psychologically or physically habit-forming, characterized by the inability to consistently abstain. Impairment in behavioral control, craving for, and it increases, hunger for the rewarding experience, diminished recognition of significant problems of one's behavior, and then almost just a denial, a dysfunctional emotional response whenever confronted or whenever the preacher talks about it. So, what do we do to walk in freedom? How do we experience a coming alive, a shedding of the things that would want to enslave us? This morning, I think you'll find this rather simple in its approach. It's not simple in that there's not a serious issue. There's some serious issues. There's some things that are happening in people's lives today that if you don't allow God to radically change you and empower you to have some self-control and to have victory and overcome, dunamis power, Holy Spirit power to overcome, These things will kill you, literally. They will destroy you. They'll destroy your family. They'll destroy your health. They'll destroy your testimony. It will undermine anything and everything good that God wants to do. And so I recognize the seriousness of the issues that we are dealing with, but I also want you to know this, that the answer is so plain, and we find it throughout God's Word. And so this morning we're going to deal with four of those things. And here's what I want to start with. It's what we started the whole series with. Pastor Philip preached it the first week. Begin today. We start today. See, you don't need me to name your problem, name your weight, name your sin for you to know that there's something going on that's not right and I need to change. Listen, it might not be something that you take in. It might be something you're giving out. It might be your attitude. It might be your mouth. It might be a whole host of things that we've not mentioned, but you know that God's tugging at your heart, and the answer is to start today. People say, you know, I'm gonna start. I've been thinking about that. I go back and forth when it comes to Whole 30 and then when it comes to free range eating. So I go back and forth. When I talk about free range, I'm not talking about healthy eating there. I'm just talking about grazing, seafood, anything I see and like. But I thought this, well, it's almost the end of July. School's getting ready to start. Not a better time than August the 1st. But I know what'll happen on August the 1st. I'll say, well, school doesn't start till the 15th. Human nature is to postpone, is to put off. Proverbs 27 and verse 1 says this, don't boast about tomorrow, for you do not know what a day may bring. What I'm saying is this, quit telling yourself one of these days. Stop procrastinating. Stop postponing. See, it's going to be harder to change tomorrow than it is today, because delay always makes a problem worse. I love this passage of scripture in Ecclesiastes chapter 11 and verse number 14, and it says, he who observes the wind will not sow, and he who regards the clouds will not weep. Now, what does that mean? Here it is, simply put, if you're waiting for perfect conditions, you'll never get anything done. And for all those folks that are a little bit OCD, all those folks that are a little bit anal about things, and you're always trying to make everything perfect, and you're trying to get everything right, and as soon as I get my life together, then I'm going to really go for God. Well, it's just the opposite. Go for God, and He helps you get it all together. But as soon as I clean up, as soon as, you know, as soon as I get married, or as soon as we have children, because, you know, I've heard it time and time. How many times have I heard, well, now, we're going to get in church because we want to raise our kids in church. And then it's, well, you know, it's so busy. And then, of course, they get into ball, and there's all kinds of things that are happening. And as soon as ball season's over, and, well, I think when they get a little bit older, you know, I'm going to get them into the youth group. And then, well, you know, they're getting ready. We're trying to get them to college. We're trying to get them all set. And then the kids go to college, and it's like, well, you know, we've not had free time. We've worked so hard all these years, and it's just kind of nice to relax and just give me a little more time. What we do is we postpone, and we postpone, and we postpone, and we postpone. And we're looking for just the right time. Can I say this? There's never a right time. Now is the right time. Today is the day of salvation, not someday. Hell's going to be chock full of folks that planned on getting saved, planned on getting right with God. They were going to get around to it. It's one of the enemy's biggest lies, and it's this: tomorrow, tomorrow, next week, someday. You've got time. You've got time. You've got plenty of time. And it's a lie from the enemy, because the Bible says this: don't boast about tomorrow, for you do not know what a day may bring. You see, the person who really wants to change finds a way to change. They find a way. They look to God, but they're saying, God, I'm going to do this with you. I can do all things. The person who doesn't want to change always finds an excuse. And if you don't want to change, you got an excuse a mile long, and you'll just keep rolling them out. But freedom to be free, it's today. Why would anyone want to stay in bondage a moment longer? Why would anyone want to stay captive a moment? Why would anyone want to stay in jail another day when you can be free? Amen? How about this? Refuse to blame others. Refuse to blame others. That problem is as old as Adam and Eve. It's not in your scripture notes. It'll be on the screen the next service. But Genesis 3, talk about blame. God made everything. His crowning creation was man. It still wasn't right. And he caused a sleep to come upon Adam, and he took from his rib. I always talk about this either in premarital counseling or at a wedding. God didn't take man, take woman from a head bone to say that man was smarter than her, or a foot bone to say that man would rule, but from his rib to say that they would walk side by side, that the heart closest to his heart. And they had paradise. You know, people always say, if I just had the right circumstances, I could live for God. They had the perfect circumstances, and they disobeyed. So, no. But what happens after God tells them not to eat of the tree, and of course, the serpent comes, the enemy comes, Satan comes, and deceives Eve, and she eats, and she gives to Adam. The Bible says in the cool of the evening that God would come down and talk with them. Talk about fellowship. That's amazing. Just that little portion of Scripture. But God discovers that they're hiding. It's rhetorical. He knows where they're at. When he says, Adam, where are you? And Adam makes the excuse, well, we disobeyed, we're naked, and I was afraid. When God said, well, who told you you were naked? Naked, have you eaten of the tree of which I commanded you not to eat? And the man, Adam, said, the woman you gave to be with me, she gave me fruit from the tree. God, it's her fault. He's saying, God, we'd all still be in the garden if you hadn't have made her. The woman said, then it goes on, then the Lord said to the woman, what is this you've done? The woman said, the serpent deceived me. What was the first thing that happened when sin came? It's the same thing that happens today. We make an excuse. We make an excuse. Well, God, it was her fault. No, Adam, she may have ate, but why did you eat? Well, it's her fault. And Eve, why did you eat? Well, it's the serpent's fault. I love preparing for these messages, and I tell you often, I tend to learn more than anyone, if no one else. I think one of the reasons God lets me do this is because He knows I need it so bad, and what I gain. And there's passages of Scripture. My dad and I read through the book of Proverbs time and time and time again. There's 31 Proverbs, one for every day. It's a book of wisdom. My dad and I read a proverb a day. And after we finished Proverbs, we read it again. So I can't even begin to tell you how many times I've read the book of Proverbs. But this verse has eluded impacting my mind the way it has this week. In Proverbs 19:3, and boy, is this ever true. I've seen it in so many situations, but I have seen it in me, in how I've responded. And it says, When a man's folly brings his way to ruin. In other words, when a man implodes, when a man sins, when a man messes up and he self-destructs, when a man's folly brings his way to ruin, his heart rages against God. We blow it. We mess up. We sin. We destroy confidence. We do all these things. We can ruin our lives. And then we turn around and say, God, why did you let that happen? Is that not amazing? We bring it on ourselves, our way to ruin. And then we blame God. Why do we do that? Because we don't want to take responsibility. That's one of the mature steps. It's following Christ. It starts with a mature step of saying, I need a Savior. I can't save myself. I've messed my life up. I'm full of sin. I've sinned against God. It takes a man. It takes a woman. It takes a lot of grit, faith, guts to step up and to say, I am the problem. I need you, God. So the question this morning is, who are you blaming for all of your struggle? Who are you blaming for your addiction? Who are you blaming for your habit? Who are you blaming the reason that you can't have revival and you can't get free and you can't live boldly? Be a man and a woman of God. Who are you blaming? Are you blaming your parents? Is it mom and dad's fault? You still blaming them? You still blaming your ex-husband or wife or a teacher, a boss? Are you blaming the devil? The devil made me do it. Some of you, your mind's going back to the devil made me do it. You're an old person if you're thinking what I'm thinking right now. See, we have to assume responsibility for our lives. In order to break free, you have to quit excusing and accusing. I've shared with you, I'll share it probably time and time again, but when I do the little motivational talks for football teams, did it a number of times for Foley football team. There was a period of time we were providing a Thursday night dinner for them, and every week I got to do a little talk, and I've done this for a few businesses. I did this for Mellow Mushroom, all their employees, one day, and gave them a little motivational talk. But one of the things I always talk about is this. It's about accusing and excusing. And if you're an accuser or an excuser, you've heard me say it before, if you're an accuser or an excuser, you are a loser. Accusers and excusers are always losers. Always blaming someone else. Always making an excuse. Passing the buck. And if you want to be free, you've got to stop blaming everyone else and have a moment, an epiphany by the power of the Holy Spirit to say, it's me, God. I need help. I can't do it. It's not everyone else's fault. So we start today and we quit, we refuse to blame others. How about this? How many are still glad you came to church? Amen? We're a little quieter this morning. My hearing's not good. I'm sure you're saying amen. Here's the third thing is I examine my life. I'm talking about folks that want to go deeper with God. We're talking about freedom from habit, freedom from addiction. We're talking about laying aside weights. We're talking about stepping up. We're talking about people that want to go deeper with God, have revival in their life. Revival always starts in the house of the Lord. And can I tell you this? My body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. So revival really starts in me. And it really starts in you. And so let a man examine himself. We are great at examining everyone else. We're great at pointing everyone else's issues and everyone else's fault and everyone else's sin. What did we talk about last week? Take the log out so you can see to get the speck. You know, don't judge others just because they sin differently than you do, right? So examine your life. Take a personal inventory, an internal audit, an honest evaluation. God, where am I weak? Take an honest evaluation. How long? It'd be interesting, you know, we want to avoid questions like this. How long have I really struggled with this? Might be interesting to say, how long? Well, I don't have a problem. 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 Well, ask yourself this. How long have you struggled with it? Because you might really have a problem. But you've been making an excuse for it. Where am I tempted the most? What are my fears? What are my frustrations? Lamentations 3 and verse 40 says, let us test and examine our ways and return to the Lord. Somebody say amen. That's revival right there, isn't it? Huh? Come on. Let us test and examine our ways and return. Because when I test and examine, there's some things I need to return. I need to get back to God. Psalm 32 and verses 4 and 5 says, for day and night your hand was heavy upon me. My strength was dried up as by the heat of summer. Selah, the pause that refreshes. Selah. For I acknowledged my sin to you and I did not cover my iniquity. There's the answer. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord. And you forgave the iniquity of my sin. Selah, that's the pause that refreshes. Psalm 139, verses 23. David declares these words. This is a man after God's own heart. He says, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. See, at some juncture, if we want these things, we've got to stop pretending. Stop pretending that we're something that we're not. What did we talk about last week? We said one of the most tiring, exhausting things in all the world is to try to act like you're something you're not. It was all based out of pride. But I've got to stop pretending. I can't cover up my faults. I've got to face them. You'll know the truth. The truth will set you free. You know Jesus. You know His Word. And you face the truth about who you are. About your sin. About your struggle. We do an evaluation. And then we continue to do an evaluation. Can I say this? Healthy people are always evaluating themselves. Where am I slipping? Where are my blind spots? Where am I getting off course? It's been stated this, I've heard this my whole life. Keep short accounts with God. Be honest with God and be honest with yourself. Take examination. And then I'll close this morning with this. Ask Jesus to be the Lord of your life. Ask Jesus to be the Lord of your life. See, what we do is we try to overcome. We do everything we can to save face. And that's usually with people. We're trying to save safe with people. We're trying to do everything we can so that we don't have to respond to an altar call. We do altar calls here. People know that. You come, and so I grew up in a church that did altar calls. We do everything we can to say, I'm not stepping out. I don't have issues. I don't need prayer. I don't need to step forward. I don't need to acknowledge. I don't need to humble myself. We do everything we can to do it ourselves. Willpower. And the fact of the matter is, we need a greater power. We need God the Father. We need a Father in our life. The kind of Father God is. If an earthly father knows how to give good gifts, how much more does the Heavenly Father give good things? Give the Holy Spirit to those who ask. We need Jesus. We need that elder brother. We need that one who is tempted in all ways, yet without sin. All the ways we are, yet without sin. He knows what it's like. And we need the dunamis, the Holy Spirit, to give us power to overcome. We need the Word of God to build faith. And we need to obey what the Word of God says. You can't change on your own power. So why not go straight to the source? Romans 6, verses 12 through 14 says, let not sin therefore reign or rule. Don't let sin rule in your mortal bodies to make you obey its passions. Why are we bound? Bound to things, and we are bound to obey the passion, self-gratification. Do not present your members to sin as instruments of unrighteousness, but present yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life. In other words, you've been saved, you've been in death, and now you're in life. You were bound, now you've been set free. He's saying, act like it. Start living like a blood-bought, born-again Christian, Christ follower, amen? So, you've been brought from death to life, your members to God as instruments of I love this. I got ahead. Do not present your members of sin as instruments for unrighteousness, but present yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life, and your members to God as instruments for holiness or righteousness. See, we present ourselves for unrighteousness. He's saying, no, 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 no. The answer is present yourself for righteousness. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable, which is your responsibility, not being conformed to this world, but being transformed by the renewing of your mind. I love this. Sin will have no dominion over you. See, folks, you don't have to live under the rule, under the dominion of sin. You can live free. Somebody shout amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I can be free. See, he's saying the solution to those things that bind us is not to allow other things to control us, to its passion. Don't be controlled. Some folks are controlled by other people. Whatever they think, what they do, that's what matters most to you. When you're controlled by other people or time schedules or drugs or alcohol or food or anything else we've mentioned, and you know, this thought came to mind. I thought, some folks are addicted to lazy. I wrote that in extra because I got to thinking some folks are just lazy. They know what to do. They've heard it so many times. They're just lazy. They're procrastinators, and they just so methodical at nothing. But what he's saying, you've got to choose the right master. That's where freedom comes from. Instead of having someone else or something else control your life, what he's saying is let God, let the power of the Holy Spirit, let the Word of God dwell in you richly. Let God control your life. See, when we got saved, the plan was this, that we would confess him as our Savior and our Lord, that we would be saved from sin and from ourselves and from Satan and from a devil's hell, and that we would have a Lord to be in charge of our life because we made a mess of our life. We need somebody to show us how to live. And so this whole idea of freedom is to ask Jesus, be the Lord of my life. I'm not going to let someone else or something else rule or run my life. When you turn the management of your life over to God, then the power to change is produced. Now, why don't most people do it? Luke, join me, would you please? Why most people don't do it is this. Is there people who think, if I give my life completely to God, I'm going to lose all my fun. I'm going to become a fanatic. I'm going to act crazy. I'm going to lose my fun. I'm going to become a fanatic, and I'm going to lose my freedom. And that is a lie of the enemy. Jesus said this, the thief comes to kill, steal, and destroy. Jesus came to give life and life more abundantly. You know who the most exuberant, you know who the most fun-loving, you know who the most joyful people are? It's those who are experiencing life and life more abundantly. They have no problem worshiping. They have no problem giving. They have no problem being faithful. They have no problem serving. They just love God. Why? Because he's given them life and life more abundant.